Hey everyone, welcome to the BTC Top Rope Talk Podcast, Episode 5, February 23rd, 2018. The weeks are flying by as we do this on the road to WrestleMania. Amazing stuff. Couple days late on the podcast again this week. I've been battling some health issues, and everyone here seems to be busy, so finding a Friday night seemed like our best situation. And even then, Aaron almost missed it because he's a fucktard, but...
But mostly the club are all losers and we don't have girlfriends right now, so yeah, I don't know about any of you guys, I don't have a girlfriend except for Aaron.
Aaron is a happily married man. Well, there we go. There's our introductions for the married man and the single man. Travis, you may give an introduction of your own.
I'm single too, so.
Wow, I paid their
guys, remember,
I am proud of all of you. All right.
Dad?
Oh, my God.
All righty. This podcast is about wrestling and not marriage, so let's move on into the wrestling part of things. Maybe if there's an avenue for marriage, we can branch out into that one day. But. Monday Night Raw, Monday Night Gauntlet, Monday Night Rollins, whatever you want to call Monday Night Raw, took place February 19th and was host to the third longest pro wrestling match in pro wrestling history. Amazing stuff. On the road to WrestleMania. We break records on the road to WrestleMania, everyone. It was second only to an Antonio Inoki match in NJPW, and the longest match of pro wrestling history. It was the Chris Hero Gauntlet against ALS in Canada in 2015 for the Smash promotion. So, very good stuff. Out of the blue, Vince McMahon booked it from start to finish, and it was really fun, especially the first hour. So let's get right into Monday Night Gauntlet here. Before the Gauntlet match, Roman Reigns comes out to the ring and says he isn't concerned about this match night, but he is concerned about the Elimination Chamber because he's seen how brutal it can be, but he's never been in one before. He also says his opponents are some of the toughest competitors, but he will do whatever it takes to get his rematch at Brock Lesnar in the main event of WrestleMania. So we get into the match. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns was the first part of the gauntlet. A good 20 to 25 minute match. Seth Rollins rolls up Roman Reigns from behind and picks up a victory as Roman Reigns was the first man eliminated from the gauntlet. As everyone and every one of my chats said, oh, Roman's going to make it to the end. This was a nice swerve for everyone. Next up was John Cena. And if you put this match into a vacuum, if you were to break out any other part of the gauntlet match, this may be the best match Seth Rollins and John Cena have ever had against each other. It was a good 30-minute match. Rivals there.
Really?
I thought it was better than their SummerSlam one. And I thought their SummerSlam one was their best one.
That's so cool.
You
can't say anything for the wrestling historian. He knows a lot more shit than you. So
that's fair. I thought this was the best match Seth and Cena had against each other. But Dave Meltzer made a good point here that I just want to talk about for a couple seconds. Roman Reigns or John Cena had the better match against Seth Rollins, but Roman Reigns worked the better match against Seth Rollins. Cena and Seth was allowed to be better because they had all the finisher kickouts and everything. Reigns and Rollins. Reigns worked a very technical match, and Dave made a very good point in saying that Roman Reigns, in his first 5 years as a pro wrestler, is just miles ahead of what John Cena was in his first 5 years as a pro wrestler. So I'd like to give props to Roman on that, but for being the guy, as Cena was the guy. But Cena and Seth had a great match. Best spot of the match was John Cena getting caught in one of his old maneuvers. Cena going for the crossbody off the middle rope. Seth counters it into an attitude adjustment, just like John Cena would.
I thought that was a great spot.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, man.
Cena kicked out of his own move. However, Seth would go on to hit him with the curb stomp for the victory 55 minutes into this match. Great stuff as Seth knocked off the two golden boys, Cena and Reigns, early. The third man to come out was Elias, to kind of a nice pop. Elias got a big pop when he came out. 10-minute match between Rollins and Elias as they really put over Rollins' knee injury. And they really put over Elias' rib injury from the big bass guitar. I kept saying bass last week, as Aaron pointed out. It was bass guitar. I'm so sorry.
It's not a bass guitar. What the fuck was that?
I said bass. It was a double bass guitar is what I saw. If that's wrong too, then some guitar expert that listens to this podcast, please tell me. We can branch into guitars, and we can branch into marriage, and we can branch into anything else but wrestling, I promise.
Dad?
Anyway, Elias hits Rollins with the drift away 10 minutes into the third match for Rollins, and pins him. An hour and 5 minutes for Seth Rollins, the longest televised match for any WWE superstar in company history. Very good spot for Mr. Monday Night. Elias was then met by Finn Balor, the next participant. Good little match. Elias was definitely the weakest worker in this match, so Finn had to go a ways to kind of carry him. But Balor would eliminate Elias with the coup de grace after a bit of a match. Balor versus The Miz. Good match as Miz continues his nice little string of matches he's been having the past month. Miz hits Balor with the skull-crushing finale and eliminates him, which leaves us with one man, Braun Strowman, who chases The Miz all around ringside, all through the crowd, finally gets him back into the ring, running power slam victory. And Braun Strowman wins the gauntlet, just as we all predicted, but we did not predict this match to go an hour and 54 minutes. In a three-hour show. So, thoughts on the gauntlet match as a whole, everyone.
You can go first.
I really enjoyed it. I was kind of disappointed that how Seth lost. I thought he was going to go all the way, but, you know, that was a good surprise factor that, you know, oh, he didn't make it. So, but it was still amazing. Braun Strowman's a monster. We all know that.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah. Next.
I thought it was a good match. I had to actually believe the whole thing because I didn't understand how they were going to do the gauntlet. So I just thought it was going to be a probably 3-on-3 or something like that, but they actually went a full 7 guys. I think probably the most, I wouldn't say proud, but invested Reigns or Cena match since their Reigns versus Cena match. It was actually pretty good. Showed why Rollins and best workers in the world still, which I thought he slipped off.
Yeah.
Just stuck with the tag team. But it showed that Rollins is still, well, not, but he's almost.
Yeah, he's still one of the top guys. He can still go as long as he did. I mean, this is the longest he's ever gone in a match, don't get me wrong, but it still shows he's still the technical prowess of a man that was running Monday Night Raw in 2015 with the WWE title. So, I mean, it was really just his breakout match again. When even I thought Seth was not the same guy since his ACL injury and since tearing his MCL when Samoa Joe kind of took his leg out from underneath him on that road to WrestleMania last year. But yeah, this was really a match that Seth Rollins needed, and props to Vince. He knows what he has in Seth Rollins. They're not much higher on Roman Reigns than they are on Seth Rollins, trust me. They really know what they have in guys like Seth and AJ, and Seth had the opportunity to go out here, and I believe he earned himself a Universal title in this this calendar year.
Yeah.
But anyway, Seth, during the match, they had various interviews with the people who were eliminated. So while after Cena was eliminated, he was interviewed backstage and says that while Seth Rollins was resilient, he was only focused on being Mr. Monday Night, while Cena's focused on several things. But this was a wake-up call, and that he has to sort things out in order to win the Chamber and make it to WrestleMania. Seth Rollins was interviewed after going 1 hour and 5 minutes and said he pinned 2 of the greatest of all time back-to-back, but it doesn't mean anything if you can't win the Chamber match. Elias says at the Elimination Chamber...
Did you seriously say that?
Yeah.
Wait, so we're putting... Wow, we're putting Reigns as one of the...
We're not putting him in that category.
Travis, no one's talking to you.
Okay, I'm gonna have to agree with Travis. Come on now. We're putting him in that category already? Really? Really, Vince?
Three-time WWE champion, 4-time main eventer of WrestleMania, former Intercontinental champion, former United States champion. I don't know, Aaron. What would you think?
I think he's there.
Yeah?
Holy shit! Wow. I must not be watching wrestling as much as you guys, because you put Roman Reigns up there with the likes of fucking Hulk Hogan, fucking Stone Cold, hell, even Cena. You put him that far ahead of the Roman Reigns of all time. Taker, Michaels, Savage. How? I wouldn't even put him past Cycle Sid right now. And you say he's one of the
Bam!
Wow.
By the way, this is going to be the main talking point in the promotion of this podcast this week.
Holy shit. They actually made Rollins say that? Really? That is wow. Okay, yep, I'm off of it now. Nope, fuck Reigns again. That's bullshit. There's no way. That's one of the greatest of all time. He might be one of the greatest right now. I'll give him that. He's proven himself time and time again, even though I just don't like his character that much. He's still a great worker in the ring. I have to give him that. He may not be the... Okay, this is my point. They said he actually had the fucking balls to say he's the best worker in the world when there's a guy like Omega, Okada, Rollins, Balor. And then they have the balls to make Rollins say that he is one of the best of all time already? Bullshit. I'm sorry. He may be the guy right now. He may be coming up. He may be actually coming along in that position. I get it. I hope it works because I'm tired of hating him. But there's no way, and I mean no way in hell, I'm putting him as one of the best of all time already. There's no way he hasn't put the time in, being honest, because if you want to be the best, he isn't even on the timetable yet, close to being one of the greatest of all time. And you're putting him as one of the greatest of all time already? That's blasphemy. I'm sorry. There's no fucking way I'm putting him as one of the best of all time. That is bullshit. There's no way I would have made one of my wrestlers say that. And then the fact that he has the balls to think he's actually the best worker in the world? Bullshit. Sorry, Roman Reigns. You may be coming along, but baby boy, you are not one of the best of all time. I am so sorry to bust your bubble, but you are not. I'm done.
Oh man.
Okay, I appreciate the passion. I'm gonna kayfabe this for 1 second, and then we're gonna move on because I appreciate the passion too much to delve in on it further. In kayfabe, Seth Rollins is Roman Reigns' best friend. In kayfabe, it is not impossible for Seth to think Roman is one of the greatest of all time. That will be my ending point on this. Okay, I appreciate the passion, and there are points I agree with. Elias is now interviewed and says at the Elimination Chamber he will enter last and pick up the scraps, just like he did with Seth Rollins tonight. Finn Balor is interviewed after being eliminated and says that the Miztourage can't interfere on Sunday, so the Miz doesn't have a chance, and he will win the Chamber and get a shot at the title he never lost. After winning the gauntlet match, Braun says he doesn't fear the unknown fears him, and just like tonight, he will win the Elimination Chamber. He calls out Brock Lesnar and says he isn't finished with him and he will get these hands at WrestleMania. He then tells Charlie Caruso to excuse me, I have unfinished business to take care of as he goes back to the ring and lays waste to the Miz garage with running power slams. Miz tries to run backstage before Strowman catches up to him in Gorilla and drags him back into the ring and delivers two more power slams to the Intercontinental Champion. Asuka is interviewed, and it was a terrible interview, and they really need to never give Asuka a mic again. But from what was understood from this promo, and this is nothing against her, she just doesn't grasp English all that well compared to a Nakamura or anyone. She controls her own destiny, and her destiny is to win the title at WrestleMania. She says that Nia didn't look so strong last time they faced off, and that Nia may like to talk, but on Sunday she will tap out. Nia Jax, once again, for the second week in a row, sneaks up on someone. Again, I pose the question how this could happen, but here we are. Asuka is able to sense this and counters her, but Nia gains control and delivers two leg drops to the Empress of Tomorrow. Titus Worldwide takes on the Bar. A schoolboy victory for Titus Worldwide as they pick up their third straight over Sheamus and Cesaro and have earned themselves a tag team championship opportunity at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Good for them. Good for Titus and Apollo.
Started from the bottom, now they're here. That's talk about the bottom, man. Now they're
worldwide. Bray Wyatt's Bray Wyatt says that he hopes the end is near, especially for Matt Hardy, who he will finish at Elimination Chamber. Matt claims that he and Bray have been battling since the beginning of time, which is an interesting usage of words, and this is only the beginning. They call each other liars. Bray says that Matt must be silenced, while Matt says Bray will be rendered obsolete. Wyatt wants Hardy to burn out of Elimination Chamber, but Matt claims he will delete Wyatt. Finally, our main event was Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Mickie James versus Alexa Bliss, Sonya Deville, and Mandy Rose. For a person who's been touting the praises of Mandy Rose, she was absolutely terrible in this match. And I don't know what it was. I thought she's been generally impressive since she came on the main roster, but man, this was definitely her worst match in NXT on the main roster. Something went wrong here. She was not good, and Mickie James was not a happy person with her. Sasha Banks made Alexa Bliss tap out with the bank statement to end the match. After the six-woman tag, Absolution beat down on Sasha and Bayley as Alexa watched. They finally turn their attention to Bliss, who is cornered but is saved by Mickie James, and they take out Sonya and Mandy, and Bliss and James walk away to end Raw. So
wait, that was the main event?
Yeah, I mean, the hour and 55-minute match was probably the main event, but that's what closed the show, so...
I'm pretty sure the people there were a little bit pissed.
Well, I'm sure they got a decent dark match. Yeah, that's Raw. Obviously, when you have a two-hour match, take on two-thirds of your show, that kind of limits what the rest of the show is about. But it was a good two-hour match, and it was an ambitious episode. It's something they've never done before, so good for them.
Yeah, they did see the longest match in history. I mean, that's something, right?
Longest match in WWE history, the longest performance in WWE history out of Mr. Monday Night Seth Rollins. I mean, they were hot.
I would love to be there.
They got to watch two bona fide pay-per-view matches in Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and John Cena and Seth Rollins, both in quality and in length, because they both went pretty long. So, I mean, yeah.
Has Meltzer rated this yet?
What's that?
Has Meltzer rated this yet?
I know the Observer came out Wednesday night. I don't know if he rated the match as a whole. I can check, and we can... I'll post it in our chat later, but I'm sure he'd give Cena and Seth 4+, just because it was that good of a match, but I don't know if he'd rate the other parts of the matches. Anyway, moving on to SmackDown Live. SmackDown, good wrestling show, but man, this show is pretty terrible storyline-wise the past few weeks. It's running in circles, and Raw is pretty badly beating it. Storyline wise, it's pretty bad lately.
I'm honestly not confident Vince is going to pull the trigger. Styles, I honestly don't. I think he's going to try to intervene and try to make it better, which I honestly would not. I'd rather have Vince.
Well, I'd rather have Styles and yeah, I'd rather have Styles and Nakamura also, but
I'm gonna
save my prediction for the Fastlane pay per view because it's gonna shock a few of you. So I'll prefer to save my prediction for the Fastlane.
I just don't want Road Dogg having absolute control over the SmackDown main event. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he doesn't, but if they're dumb enough to give it to him. I hope Triple H somehow says fuck no and just he handles Styles versus Nakamura because this needs to be a fight. This needs to be a combat match. This needs to be better than their match at Wrestle Kingdom, which is little side note, people, a 5-star match. So it's not like you're getting a bad match, but if you let Road Dogg do it, I'm pretty sure you're gonna get a shit match. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree. Road Dogg has not been a very good booker. Although, if Styles and Nakamura were to get a producer of the match, say, like, I don't know, Arn Anderson. I don't know if Arn is doing Raw or SmackDown backstage. But if he were to get someone like Arn Anderson or Finlay or whoever produces the matches, I'm sure they could easily match the quality of Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty bad when the best women's storyline is Charlotte Flair versus the Riot, or the best storyline on the show is Charlotte Flair versus the Riot Squad, and that's still a pretty shit storyline. So yeah, SmackDown has really hit a lull as of late, and it's the wrong time to hit a lull, especially on the road to WrestleMania. But hopefully, after the Fastlane pay per view, things can pick up.
And their tag team division just doesn't make sense right now. Like, yeah, running in circles.
Yeah, this whole show is running in circles, I swear.
I'm honestly just waiting for the Bludgeon Brothers to take the title off the Usos.
Yeah,
and I like the Bludgeon Brothers. I've really enjoyed them since they come back, but yeah, I just like the Usos that much more, and the Usos just have nothing to deal with. And we'll talk about who the new number one contenders are in a second, but they're just running back to something that was organic, but something that's already happened 15 times.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's always a great match.
15 plus, yeah, more like 100, you're right.
So, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I can't say enough. I used to be genuinely excited to watch SmackDown over the last few months, especially after Sammy turned heel, but now I'd rather sit in my computer science class, and that really says something.
He's not fresh anymore with his heel work. Yeah. Like, he's just,
and even they've managed to make Styles, like, I don't even know, I'm not even that impressed with Styles' reign as champ, his second reign. Like, yeah, he's AJ Styles. It's going to be a good title reign regardless, but I'm not, like, impressed as I was the first one. It's just like, oh.
You're not, like, ready to see it.
Yeah, it's just like, he took the title off of Jinder as a thank you for what he did for replacing the whole Raw roster getting sick and stuff. But, I mean, like, yeah, it's just like, I don't know. Just, I really... I have 99 problems with SmackDown right now, I guess, so.
They definitely need a superstar shakeup, I think.
The draft needs to help. The draft needs to happen, or its shakeup needs to happen. All right, let's get into it instead of... Oh, go ahead, Ashton.
I was just going to say, make a point. I know, I talked too much, calm down. But still, I was just going to make a point, if you honestly think about it, all of Jinder's reign, way, way fucking.
The thing was, like, I don't know. I don't want to say Styles' reign right now is on the par of Jinder. It's just that it's not that much better right now.
Wrestling quality is better. But
wrestling quality is better, but storyline, I don't know. It's just that they're dragging the Shane and Bryan thing in circles because they're not gonna let Daniel Bryan wrestle, And that's just Jesus the fact.
Just let the man wrestle. Damn. They go sign some fucking liability thing and let him wrestle. You act like it's not gonna fucking sell out if you say Daniel Bryan wrestling at Mania. Like, come on now. Even if it's against Shane, it doesn't matter. People want to see Daniel Bryan wrestle. If you actually let him wrestle, holy shit, you got an ultimate WrestleMania on your hands. We know. It doesn't matter that he has like 15 doctors saying he can wrestle. No, it doesn't at all. You just don't want to wrestle at all. So, okay, I'm done with the whole Daniel Bryan conversation. Because it's just not going to happen. If you're just going to keep on fucking with him in storyline, just let the man go to the Indies. Oh, I'm pretty sure they'll sell out Wrestle Kingdom next year if he's on the card. No doubt. So go ahead and let that shit happen, WWE. See exactly where the fuck your intentions get you. Wow, I'm on fire this podcast. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Oh, I definitely agree. Just to stay on the Daniel Bryan thing for like 2 seconds, though, he admitted on the Edge and Christian podcast that he's lied about concussions and seizures, and I think that's the one thing that WWE is like really hesitant on. He's lied to them before about it, so what says he wouldn't do it again, I guess, might be their positioning. But all right, now that we're done complaining about the 99 Problems of SmackDown, let's talk about the show, and then we can complain about it some more. We start off SmackDown Live with an in-ring interview of the champion AJ Styles conducted by Renee Young, asking him about his disadvantages being added last week to his match with Fastlane. Styles looks at the WrestleMania logo above and reassures Renee that he has control of his own destiny and can beat anyone in the ring. However, he has a problem with the Fatal 5-Way. He could be pile-driving Kevin Owens on the announce table while Dolph Ziggler pins Sami Zayn in the ring. As he talks about the match, Baron comes in and tells AJ that he beat him the last time they fought, along with other past victories. He's excited to pin Styles or even anyone else, as he said himself. Kevin Owens then appears, bringing out his banter, and afterwards... By the way, I have to talk about one line that AJ Styles said, because if Roman Reigns said it, everyone would be on his back. AJ Styles said, "I heard you got rid of the boil on your back." And no one reacted. And Kevin Owens had this funniest look on his face. He was like, "What? Oh, by boil on your back, I mean Sami Zayn." And just everyone groaned. And Kevin goes, "What?" If Roman Reigns said that, the internet would be collapsing upon itself. I just wanted to make note of that. That was so terrible, and when I heard it, I even went, "Oh no."
Was the crowd reaction that bad?
It was just like, there was like two people who cheered it, and the rest were like, "Oh god."
Oh, what? Poor Styles. Poor fucking Styles. I'm not saying he's the best promo guy, but damn. He can do better than that.
Yeah, he's really improved on promos since coming to WWE. He was not the best in TNA or anything, but he's really improved. But man, that was a low point there. Who, buddy?
Bro, I can just imagine Kevin's face. Like, if he... What if... Wait. I don't know if Kevin knew what he was going to say, but I'm pretty sure if he didn't know, we were going to get way more than what we got. Because if he didn't know what the fuck he was going to say, I'm pretty sure Owens would have just went into Styles.
The whole thing just made me think, man, if Roman said that, the whole internet, the Twitter would be dying right now. But since it's AJ, he's going to get a pass. And I knew it because no one was talking about it after. And I was like, God, it was so bad. Anyway... Dolph Ziggler versus Kevin Owens happened. It was a good match. Sami Zayn comes out to distract Ziggler, and then Owens super kicks him very hard in the back of the head. It did not look fun. Like it looked like a stiff super kick, and Owens beat Ziggler. So congrats to Dolph Ziggler on his luxurious contract that gets him to be pinned by Ziggler and Zayn every week. Or gets him to be pinned by Owens and Zayn every week, excuse me.
I was going to say, damn, he pinned himself?
Yeah. Jinder Mahal and Sunil Singh come to the ring to reveal one of Bobby Roode's secrets, which is his personal top 10 superstars list, which looks like the official one where Bobby Roode switches himself with AJ Styles, which was really dumb as well. This whole show, man.
That was weird. Like, I was so
I was expecting Bobby Roode. I was expecting Bobby Roode to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but no, he just switched places, and I was like, oh, okay.
What?
Just this whole show just had me baffled. He tries to explain how this shows that Bobby Roode's an egomaniac and a liar until Roode himself comes out denying that wasn't his list. Amazing. Roode himself also found a secret that Jinder's trying to make conflict between Orton and Roode since he can't win in a fair fight. Jinder responds by trying to peer pressure him, and Roode has had enough and wants to fight Jinder right now. Randy Orton then comes out with a brawl ensuing. Both Orton and Roode push Jinder out of the ring, and Orton tries to finish Roode, but he counters it with a terrible Glorious DDT. This was on par with the Mojo one. Orton just didn't jump for it and just spiked himself. He, sandbagged him. He just barely jumped for it and just looked like Bobby Roode fell on his back. And I was like, Jesus, this whole show is going to shambles.
When Bobby Roode kept saying, I didn't say that, and, you know, they had that bickering back and forth, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like high school.
Jinder then comes back in and hits the Coloss on Roode, standing on top. And I actually smiled because Jinder Mahal was the thing that has made the most sense on this show.
Yeah.
And that was something.
I agree.
Holy shit. Smack that. Oh! Oh my god. You guys remember the good old days?
Yes. Like 2003. We need to have a podcast. Not even just 2003. 2016 was good. Yeah. SmackDown.
Holy shit.
All the way up until the superstar shakeup. And then we hit a problem. Anyway, we need to hold a podcast, just a 1-hour podcast on how SmackDown has gone to shit. I'm sorry. Travis still seems to like SmackDown, so I think he's sitting pretty quiet here. But, yeah.
Really? Oh, no, hell no. You gonna talk on this subject? Hell no. Fuck no. You're not getting
it. I haven't watched SmackDown in 3 weeks, so.
You seemed to like it before that, and it's been bad for more than 3 weeks.
Oh, shit. I was finna ride your ass. I'm sorry. I was finna geek your ass.
I know that because he was still covering that and not watching Raw, and I had to convince him to turn it on for the Cena-Miz match, but, SmackDown's terrible now. There's only one word to say it. Backstage, we see Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan discussing their differences on what the matches should be for the 27th straight week. With Daniel Bryan not satisfied that his job of running the show is now met with constant resistance for the 27th straight week.
Oh, this is just wonderful. Oh, I totally didn't expect this guy to be this good. But holy.
Is Daniel Bryan going to be wrestling? No, he's not, guys. But he's still in a big feud.
He's probably one of the biggest feuds on SmackDown, but you know what? He's not gonna wrestle.
The best story progression we got, but nothing's gonna come out of it.
What if they pull a big ass swerve and we look like fucking idiots?
Oh man, I'd be happy though.
I'd be the happiest idiot in the world.
6-woman tag match. Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Naomi versus the Riot Squad. To continue with the theme of this show not making any fucking sense, Naomi and Liv Morgan had the best sequence on the show.
Bro, this man totally hates SmackDown right now. Oh,
I want to like it. It was my favorite show for so long, and it's just gone so downhill. Oh my god.
When Raw is going uphill and SmackDown's going downhill, that's how you know it's bad. Like, Raw used to be terrible before Braun Strowman, that's for sure.
Exactly. I was like, what the fuck? It's the absolute opposite now. Like, Raw is totally, killing it, even though Raw 25 was absolutely...
We won't speak of Raw 25.
We just... We're just gonna split off Raw 25 from the other
25
years. That show doesn't exist. It's in its own separate universe.
Alright.
Ruby Riott pinned Becky Lynch with the Riott kick to win the match. Once again, I have to say, Naomi and Liv Morgan had the best sequence on the show. Not of the match, of the show. Of the show.
What did
they do? Naomi and Liv Morgan. It was just a bunch of athletic shit that was really fucking fun to watch. It was like if Ricochet and Will Ospreay were women for like 5 seconds.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah. Let's move on to problem number 86 with this show. Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable versus The New Day. Xavier Woods and Big E with Kofi Kingston at ringside. Xavier Woods hits Shelton Benjamin with the Shining Wizard with more ref incompetence for The New Day to win, and we are getting The New Day versus The Usos at Fastlane. What an innovative and inspiring new match put on by SmackDown Live.
Is it going to be a first time ever match? No.
This is what Twice in a Lifetime inspired.
God damn it, Cena and Brock. You guys just had to do this. You just had to fuck us up. Huh?
This is nothing against Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, Xavier Woods, no, Big E, no. Or Kofi Kingston. Nothing against these five guys. These combination of five men kill it in the ring every time they're in it. I'm just so tired of seeing it.
It's like when we got the whole hot potato thing with the Raw Women's title.
Jesus. Anyway, the Bludgeon Brothers had a very entertaining jobber match. Very entertaining. It was very good. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Most entertaining match on the show.
Yeah. I enjoyed it thoroughly. These should be the number one contenders, folks. Do you not remember when Luke Harper and Eric Rowan would kill it with the Usos like 3 years ago in pre-show matches? Yeah, that's why they should be facing the Usos and not the New Day.
They're the old day now.
They're the past due day.
If you guys want actual evidence to how good Luke Harper and Eric Rowan are with the Usos, they literally made a very essential part of the Bray Wyatt and John Cena match, which was Last Man Standing, and the Usos had no like real reason to be in the damn feud, but it didn't matter because they made the match 10 times better.
Yep.
So if you want evidence to how great those two teams can work, look at that, and then imagine how much experience and actual technicality they have now. Just imagine what they can do. Yeah, we're going to get the Usos New Day.
I'm praying to the gods that it's a swerve and that the Bludgeon Brothers attack the New Day. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, that's what I said. But you know, I don't see that happening.
Fingers crossed.
It looks dim.
AJ Styles against Baron Corbin featured the second best sequence of the show. Baron Corbin violently threw AJ Styles over the announce table, to which Styles did a backflip, stood up, climbed over the announce table, climbed back on the apron, and hit Corbin with a phenomenal forearm, to which Baron Corbin immediately kicked out at 2.
I think they're going to have Corbin win.
I'm saving my prediction for Fastlane.
Wait, you think he's gonna win?
No, I Fastlane. My prediction is for Fastlane.
Wait, hold the fuck on, hold up. Now I'm a little bit worried. Wait till next week.
The suspense will be killing you.
Oh, I'm worried. I'm so worried. I am so fucking worried. Man, I don't even want to hear your reaction. I don't want to hear your preview. I don't want to hear shit. If it's not AJ Nakamura, I don't want to hear it. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt is not a fucking idiot. He has a very keen wrestling mind. And if he thinks some shit is going to happen, there's a 50% chance that shit is going to happen. I wouldn't say Aaron, because this dumbass thought of Jinder Mahal and Roman Reigns. But if that actually happens...
Remember, I just said that to mess with you guys.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I would have flew out to your house and whooped your ass if that happened. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you actually think that's going to happen, please tell me right now. Because I don't want to fucking wait. I'm worried now. Please don't tell me you think Baron Corbin or Dolph Ziggler is winning this match.
Let this sink in.
This fucking happens. What?
Baron versus Nakamura. That would be terrible.
You know what? Baron versus Nakamura, if we got the quality of that match they had a few weeks ago, I wouldn't even mind that. Because that was a very good match a few weeks ago.
It was. But that shit should not be on a WrestleMania card. I am sorry.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Especially when you have the possibility of AJ Styles versus Nakamura. Why would you turn away from that?
That would be the exact equivalent. Like, there's no way you're gonna do that. That's like literally having Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan on the same roster for your biggest match event of the year.
Exactly.
That's the equivalent. If Road Dogg actually does this, I'm sorry. I may sound like Jeff right now, but I'm going to assassinate you very quickly. There's no way you're gonna fuck up this WrestleMania for me. Cause I literally just got word. I got tickets to WrestleMania.
Hell yeah! Give it up for Ashton.
If you actually think you're fucking this WrestleMania up for me, I will. I may sound like, oh damn, I hope he doesn't listen to this. I sound like somebody that was on the staff a couple weeks ago, but I will assassinate you. I swear to God. You did it. Just great. Sorry, Jeff. If you're listening, you're not weird to me. I like you. I thought it was a little bit iffy that you said you were assassinating somebody with a bad toupee, but it's just the fact of this.
Road dog.
If you fuck up this WrestleMania for me, I promise you, I am going to fuck you up. Cause you better not put Ziggler, and you better not put fucking Corbin in one of the main events of WrestleMania. Because I can give two fucks now. Brock and Roman will absolutely be the main event in my eyes. And I don't want it to be. If you do this, Brock and Roman is the main event, period. No other match should be in. And that's coming from me. I literally just said Roman Reigns should not be one of the greatest of all time. But if that's the match that you're going to give us, that should be the main event. Hands motherfucking down. All right, I'm done now. Again, wow.
Well, that was an episode of SmackDown Live. yeah, we have one more show. It's the go-home show to Fastlane. And I will announce my prediction on that next week's podcast.
Shit.
This week's mixed match challenge was the man formerly known as Apollo Crews teaming up with Nia Jax to take on Bobby Roode and the girl sometimes known as Charlotte Flair. The winner faces Rusev and Lana in the next round. Roode and Flair won. Charlotte had the worst moonsault in WWE history in this match.
Whoa, worse than Lita and Rumble?
The second worst. Moonsault in WWE history, and I was the one shitting on Lita's moonsault the whole time on this podcast. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get my breath back after everything. Okay, Rude and Flair win. They face Rusev and Lana in round two. 205 live. We'll get to Travis. Travis will announce the quarterfinals.
Wait, hold on. I just gotta say one thing. I swear to God, I heard Charlotte say "That's my man" to Bobby Roode in the ring. I swear to God, I thought I heard that. Either I'm fucking up, I must have been tripping on shrooms, but I swear to God, she said "That's my man" in the ring. I don't know where the fuck they're going with this, but I swear to God, she said "That's my man" in the ring. Like, not like "That's my man." No, "That's my man." That's what she said. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know how I feel about that one, because I'm pretty sure the guy's married, and I'm pretty sure she's literally going with Mojo Rawley, which is a bit weird for me still. But I'm just not really for storylines, love storylines with people that are married. That's why I kind of didn't want the Braun and Alex thing to happen.
Yeah, because Alexa's engaged, and yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what the fuck is going on, but that shocked me, and I turned off the match. I don't even know, because I heard that shit, and I was like, whoa, did she just say that? Rewinded it.
I think Goldust and Mandy Rose is a good idea, though. Personally.
Yeah.
I agree.
But that's Goldust.
Yeah.
I mean, Goldust is an exception, because we know damn well in real life nobody would go with a freak like Goldust. But it's TV. So we know that isn't realistic. It'll be just for comedic purposes. Yeah. Would it be like a Charlotte or Bobby Roode, which would fit and could possibly solidify Bobby?
Possibly.
I don't know. Don't kill me, Matt.
I'm not saying.
What?
Aaron, hold on.
Please write this down. He just said, "I'm not going to kill you," and I asked you to do this. Holy shit. That isn't something I thought about at all. I literally think it was
happening. Historic podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Historic podcast.
Holy shit. Okay. All right. Now go ahead, Travis. Do 205 live, please.
Travis will announce the quarterfinal matchups after we get through the two matches here. Aria Davari versus Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy's debut on 205 Live. Very good match.
Buddy Murphy, yeah.
Very good match. Buddy Murphy needs to change his theme, because it's just a reminder of the dubstep cowboys and NXT and the secondhand epilepsy their entrance gave me. So it needs to go. But Murphy won with the Whale Hunt, which is a pump handle spinning Death Valley driver, is the best way to describe it. It's a very cool finish. Oh, it's called the Whale Hunt. It's been used in.
It's called the what?
The Whale Hunt. It's used by a wrestler. I think it should be called Murphy's Law. But I know it's called the Whale Hunt because a wrestler, Noah, uses the finisher. So, and that's what it was. His finisher was called as Whale Hunt, so that's what I'm going to call it, the Whale Hunt. But it's a very cool finisher, and it finished off Aria Davari, and congrats to Buddy Murphy.
Okay.
Mustafa Ali and Jack Gallagher, probably my third favorite match of this tournament so far. It was a very slow match to start, but the last 10 minutes were quite insane, starting with Jack Gallagher drop kicking Mustafa Ali off the top rope into the barricade on the outside, and I thought Mustafa Ali was dead. And then Gallagher immediately proceeded to throw Mustafa Ali shoulder first into three barricades, take him into the ring, deliver multiple elbows to the shoulder, and then hit his running drop kick in the corner, and then Mustafa kicked out at two, because on the third death, you rise again. Mustafa eventually won with the 05-4, reverse 450 splash and is moving on to the next round to face Buddy Murphy. So it's Mustafa Ali and Buddy Murphy. What are the three other matches, Travis?
The three other matches next week will be Cedric Alexander versus TJP. We all know Cedric.
Yeah, Cedric wins. Cedric probably wins.
He needs to. And then the other match is Roderick Strong versus Kalisto.
All right. And then the third one.
Next week, March 6th, will be Drew Gulak versus Mark Andrews.
All right. My dark horse for what might be my favorite match out of that might be Gulak and Andrews, in all honesty, but but should be some good matches. Cedric and TJP, I mean, two very solid workers. Strong and Kalisto, two very good workers. So, I mean, it's going to be a good quarterfinals. Good quarterfinals next 2 weeks of 205 Live as we hit WrestleMania in full stride. NXT took place Wednesday night with the main event of Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas. If Gargano loses, he leaves NXT. We kicked off the show with Velveteen Dream and No Way Jose. Dream won with the Purple Rainmaker elbow. And he grabbed a mic and stated that he should have swept the NXT year-end awards and added that his name was on the tip of everyone's tongues in the center stage crowd in Atlanta. William Regal announced the Dusty Classic Tag Team Tournament will be making its return, and that the winners of the tournament will be awarded a shot at the NXT Tag Team Championships at NXT TakeOver Orlando. We'll go over the tournament right after this, so Travis, have that handy.
New Orleans. Not Orlando.
New Orleans. Not Orlando. It's not a year earlier. It's not WrestleMania 33. It's 34, Matthew. Come on. Nikki Cross versus... Nikki Cross versus Vanessa Bourne. Nikki Cross won with her swinging neckbreaker, The Purge. So, nice little match here. And then, we got the main event. Andrade Cien Almas versus Johnny Gargano for the NXT Championship. If I had to rate it, 4.5 stars. It wasn't as great as their match at TakeOver. Obviously, I don't think they could have lived up to it after that, but they still had a very good match and my personal match of the week. Tommaso Ciampa came out while the ref was down after a ref bump and smashed Johnny Gargano with his crutch while Gargano had Almas and the Gargano escape. Cien then hit the hammerlock DDT. Drake Wirtz, the referee, woke up, counted three. Johnny Gargano is gone from NXT. Andrade Cien Almas remains the NXT champion. Tommaso Ciampa is still a fucking asshole. And that's NXT. So, we're either going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about the Dusty Classic or Tommaso Ciampa being a... excuse me, fucking asshole. So, I had to get the devil out of me to talk about him. Okay. Let's talk about the Dusty Classic. What are our 8 matches? We've reduced it from 16 last year to 8 this year. What are the 8 matches, Travis?
Hold on. I'm not ready for that yet.
Okay. You're not ready for that. I'm going to talk about NXT for another second then. It was a very good show, and NXT TV continues to impress. There was a long lull there where NXT TV didn't seem to matter and everyone was just waiting for the takeovers. I'm glad they're having matches like Gargano and Almas on NXT TV again. I mean, people easily read the spoilers and stuff, but yeah. While we're waiting on Travis, let's talk about the Kairi Sane incident that happened at... we'll get back to it after the Kairi Sane thing. Kairi Sane competed at an NXT live event in St. Petersburg, Florida last night. Ashton wants to talk about this. According to a fan in attendance, some fans were chanting "Happy Ending" and "Pearl Harbor" at Kairi Sane as she wrestled NXT talent Rhea Ripley last night at NXT. Ashton wanted to take a moment to talk about this since it's close to his hometown. So, Ashton, would you like to discuss the Kairi Sane incident?
It's not close, guys. St. Petersburg is my hometown.
It's his hometown. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. It's just been a lot of stuff happening. Parkland shootings, which...
Yeah.
Give. Actually would have been affected by that, but
yeah,
like stuff like this, it bewilders me. It's my hometown. The venue that they had it at, I literally live 5 minutes away from it. It's honestly disgusting. First off, my city is not known for this. My city is known for speech for the beautiful art that's hovered it up. It's known for cities to live in. St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
And honestly, these racists happen. The whole city. It's bullshit. You're one of the most tremendous female wide world. The true. Very tough. Just because you are from a place and you look different, there's that happy. Don't forget Pearl Harbor, who gives it. It's people who cling on to the past, who act. You are a very tremendous one, be limited to prejudice, racial. I understand when you come because black men will be everything. Feeling that you're going to listen to this, or you, I just do not get you, do not let any fuckers that were in the St. Petersburg NXT event in the venue at after who said shit like this get to you. Because being honest, you're richer than I tell you that you're absolutely way more of a better person because you didn't even the way that I thought you just posted a picture. Represented unity. I just don't want anybody thinking computers like them. It's bullshit. As they have there all the time. I have even Tampa. It's happening. Because some jackass in the neighborhood, caused to happen. Do not let it even be thought of in Petersburg. It's like, we support it. The wrestling fans and computers that support every single event that comes through there because I know the wrestling community. I grew up in. There's no way this would happen if somebody like me was there because I would shut them the fuck up. That's bullshit. Because just because she's way more tremendously talented than any of you guys in your left hand, just in her left hand is way more talented than any of you guys, you sit there and say bullshit like that, that's bullshit. That's absolute bullshit. Nobody should ever go to, and it's crazy that our world is divided like this now, but it is, and we live in it. So the point I'm trying to make it is this. Kairi, you're tremendous. You're absolutely one of the best. It's the truth. Do not let anything like this get you down as a performer or a person, because honestly, fuckhead. They're dickheads, they're shitheads, whatever the hell you want to call it. I'm so glad this podcast is not PG, but I just want to let you know from my heart that that's bullshit. You should never have to go through that. And it's sad that it went and it happened in my hometown. I am so sorry about it. I am so sorry. But do not let any of this get you down. Because simply, the fact is, they're jealous. They're absolutely jealous because you're a star. You absolutely have money because you work for the WWE. You got money. There's no way you're fucking poor if you work for the WWE. They're just jealous. And honestly, let them be jealous. because I'm pretty sure a couple years you're going to be on the Mania stage, and that fat ass is going to be right there in St. Petersburg, Florida, working their 9-to-5 job, talking about, oh, remember that time we talked about Kyrie saying, and we caused her to feel prejudice, and we caused racial things to be said at an event? Well, you're probably in a Mania, in a WrestleMania match, fighting for a woman's title, and beloved by everybody. So I'm going to finish this by saying, fuck the guys who said that to Kyrie from my hometown. And I hope you listen to this and say something to me. Because I'm very known in my hometown. Sadly, but it's true. I'm known in my hometown. So you know where I am. And if you want to say something, do something about it, please step to me. Because not only will I beat your ass, I'll do a Kyrie Saint elbow drop just for the hell of it. Now I'm not.
Well, I'm glad we have the opportunity to have this outlet for you, Ashton, to say something about that. It's sickening in 2018 that shit like this still happens. It's not the first case of this happening. And other live events, not in St. Petersburg, but in the Florida area. Hideo Itami has gotten Where's My A-Girl chants, and Andrade Almas has gotten Build the Wall chants. They are the minority, a very extreme minority, that are chanting this, but they're still shitbags, as you said, and do not deserve to have the enjoyment that wrestling brings to all of us. Wrestling is supposed to be a happy place. Everyone that watches pro wrestling, it's entertainment. I mean, it's not even just WWE, but watching New Japan, it's supposed to be entertaining. Their job is to entertain us, and for you to be chanting things like this and saying things like this, what's even the point of being there? Why even go?
Exactly.
You know, it's ridiculous. So I'm glad we have this outlet.
Say it was like a sold out show or something, and you know, the last ticket goes to someone like that. A real wrestling fan, you know, a new wrestling fan could have had that ticket instead of someone like that.
Yes.
Exactly.
So,
with the situation, I mean, like you said, with the shooting that happened last week, it's just generally it's tense. I imagine it's tense down there. Everyone's on their tiptoes everywhere, and just
like, I know this isn't rationally related, but it's gotten bad here, honestly. Like, they just passed the laws in the county where I am. They just passed laws to where teachers can have guns in the classroom because we're that afraid.
Yeah.
And it's sad that absolutely we've gotten to this point. And I don't care about Trump. I don't care about any of that. I can give two fucks. Sure, I didn't vote for the guy.
Yeah,
I honestly don't care.
This isn't a politics podcast, but this is a humane discussion. I mean, this is just a humane discussion. People who go out and chant shit like this, they don't deserve to have the happiness that we get from wrestling.
Exactly. They don't deserve it at all.
Yeah, I'm glad we got the opportunity to talk about that for a second. Just one quick note, NJPW Ring of Honor Rising in Corken Hall took place last night. That's day one. I haven't watched it yet. I plan on watching both nights over the weekend. Night two takes place tonight. Marty Scurll and Cody Rhodes versus the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. I just want to make one note. I heard the six-man tag team match between Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, and Chase Owens versus Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll was fantastic last night, so I plan on catching that absolutely. Also, Cody Rhodes, after the match, after Hangman Page beat Chase Owens for the Bullet Club victory, Cody Rhodes said, not only is Bullet Club fine, Bullet Club is mine. So a lot more tension heading into Supercard of Honor, which, by the way, as of now, has over 4,500 fans, 4,500 tickets sold for Supercard of Honor in New Orleans, Mania weekend, the largest Ring of Honor attendance in history as of now, and the event and the venue can hold up to 5,500 people. So it may sell out. So good for them. Good for them. Great storyline. Probably my second favorite storyline right now behind Gargano and Ciampa. So good stuff. Night two is on NJPW World if you want to catch it. Last week on the podcast, I figured I have to call myself out here. Last week on the podcast, there was a rumor. And to that rumor, I responded that hell would have to freeze over, or Vince McMahon would have to lose his pulse for Jeff Jarrett to be inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, man.
You guys saw my reaction. It didn't take me 30 seconds. I literally got the notification and put it in the chat. I'm pretty sure we were all freaking out at the fucking notification. But yeah.
I woke up. I woke up 2 hours, about an hour and a half actually, after the announcement was made by NBC Sports that Jeff Jarrett was being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. I immediately started looking for whether Vince McMahon had a pulse or not anymore. Upon finding out that he still did, I have now concluded that hell has frozen over.
Oh.
None of us are going to hell, folks. Jeff Jarrett is in the Hall of Fame.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. I'm totally lost. Not for Dusty's, not for Goldberg. I want to see what the fuck is going to be said about Jeff Jarrett. That is the only thing I care about.
It's just like someone said in the chat, I don't remember who, but his best moment was him losing the title, the Intercontinental title to China.
Yeah, I don't know if that was me or Ashton, but
yeah,
I said his best moment was walking out after losing the title.
I mean, you can technically say stuff in WCW.
He's a four-time WCW champion, and that's why I'm exactly going to argue right now he's a Hall of Famer. I have no doubt in my mind that Jeff Jarrett is a Hall of Famer. He created TNA. He created a platform for AJ Styles, Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Even in later days like Kurt Angle, Sting, Hulk Hogan, these guys had somewhere to go.
Hold on. I wouldn't go that damn far. You can't tell me he just didn't sign him because he's fine. I can say TNA was a very good platform. I'll give him that. But he definitely didn't make Kurt Angle, Sting.
No, I'm not arguing he made them. I meant somewhere for them to go after WWE. Like,
okay, right,
just
yeah,
a
there you
like
go. No argument there.
They were a legitimate number two. Not in the sense that they were competing, but they were a legitimate number two. But like, yeah, for the night that Hulk Hogan debuted on TNA on Spike, the night the Monday Night War happened, they got a 1.4. That's nothing to scoff at. A 1.4, and they averaged over a million viewers for a lot of their Spike run. That can directly be contributed to Jeff Jarrett creating what he did.
Yeah.
For that, I'd say he's Hall of Fame worthy. It's just, I'm shocked.
They don't even acknowledge TNA though.
Yeah.
They don't. So they can't say anything about TNA.
My favorite part. Continue talking because I have to look up what was said here that I absolutely loved.
But like seriously, like what the like they, every single person from TNA to AJ to Samoa Joe, you gotta say it right. Samoa Joe. But to Samoa Joe, to fucking Bobby Roode, they literally have said titles won around the world. The only other company that has been acknowledged in WWE is Evolve and New Japan. That's it. Yep. And Ring of Honor. Yep. Ring of Honor a little bit, not much. But, because Ring of Honor was actually, because Matt Hardy actually set Ring of Honor back in 2005.
CM Punk.
That's acknowledgement to me. I'm sorry. Yeah. And CM Punk. Wait, huh? CM Punk.
During his shoot promo, he said, maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor. But.
Oh, yeah. How the fuck can I forget about the pipe bomb? That was, wow. I'm slipping. Anyway. How the fuck can I forget about the tight mark? But still,
I found the tweet that I was looking for here. It was from at Triple H tweeted this, and I laughed. Born into this business, at Real Jeff Jarrett not only led a decorated career, but created opportunities for new talent around the world. Congratulations, Double J, and welcome to the hashtag WWE Hall of Fame. Created opportunities for new talent around the world. So, yeah.
Wow.
They have to say TNA.
I definitely believe they have to, and if they don't, I'm sure it's going to slip out of one of them. As for who's going to induct them, if we're truly going to go for a train wreck scenario, my vote's for Kurt Angle.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too.
I wish Vince would ask him to do that. Do you honestly think Vince is that fucking stupid? Man, Kurt will probably put him in an ankle lock right there. Do you actually think they're going to tell him to do that?
Is that someone like AJ or someone that was in TNA?
Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Not no fucking Kurt Angle. He's literally married to his ex-wife. Literally. Right now. I'm pretty sure Kurt is looking at the announcement like, what the fuck?
He's waiting for the phone call. He is waiting.
I know damn well they're not going to do that to Kurt Angle. If they do that, WWE is officially a jackass. The company is a jackass.
The company that fired CM Punk on their wedding day is officially a jackass for this.
That would be so fucked up. You gotta introduce and induct your ex-wife's husband into the Hall of Fame. Wow. And you actually gotta say nice things about him? Man, I'll beat the fuck out of Vince. I'm sorry. Oh, man. Vince got
fucked up. Poor Kevin Owens.
What? Man, I'll powerbomb his ass. Ooh. You know what? Let it happen. If it happens, I hope he gives him an angle slam. I do. I really do.
Just right on the stage.
Straight steel.
One more match.
Wait, hold on.
If I saw Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett in a WWE ring, I might die. Not only that, it really convinced me hell has frozen over. All right.
Yes, but wait, hold on. You haven't thought about this. What if it's leading to a match or something? What if they're actually going to have Jarrett in a match sometime?
I hope he's sober if they do this. I'm just saying in general. I'm not even saying that as a joke. I hope he's sober if they plan on doing this.
But, like, what if it's leading to Angle versus Jarrett?
There's a slim chance. I think it's pretty slim.
Is either the smartest son of a bitch in the world or the dumbest son of a bitch in the world.
Christ, if I ever see that match at WrestleMania, I don't know who.
Why don't we add a good stipulation to it and put Karen Jarrett in a shark cage above the ring?
Why stop at a shark pit cage? It is Karen Jarrett on a pole, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen Judy Bagwell on a pole. I mean.
Oh my god. Oh god, we need help.
If I had to see the flesh and blood that Buff Bagwell came out of on a pole, I swear to God, we can get Karen Jarrett. Congrats to Jeff Jarrett on making it into the Hall of Fame. Finally, it is time for our Elimination Chamber preview out of all of this.
Oh, just great.
We're going to get through this pretty fast. We're hitting an hour and 15 here, so let's talk about, let's get through this. Let's breathe here. No more shark cages, no more poles. Jeff Jarrett in the Hall of Fame. Jeff Jarrett in the Hall of Fame is enough of a shock for all of us.
Story podcast.
Bro, I'm just thinking about her on a pole, dead ass. That's the only thing in my mind. Like, it's nothing else. Fuck the match. I just want to see her on a fucking pole. And how humiliating that's going to be. And that's the fucking case.
All right, if we're going to fantasy book this, I want Vince Russo sitting on the ramp. That's so good, bro. This is my concept, bro. Man, if I were back writing Raw, we'd have sky-high ratings, bro.
Oh, my God, I am dead.
Holy might as well just make it a lumberjack match with all the TNAs that's in WWE, though.
Oh, God. Bro, I hate you guys so much.
All these holy matches at Mania shit. Should be on a pole, bro.
Okay, if they do that, they should have Brad Maddox versus Xavier Woods and the Page as a special
defense. Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Bro, we gotta put Mania off the network and back on pay-per-view again, bro. It would sell millions, bro.
Holy shit.
Alright, let's preview the chamber, folks.
My fucking stomach aches. Oh my god. Fuck me. Okay, continue.
Pre-show tag team match. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson of the Club versus the Miz, Taraj, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel. Travis, prediction.
The Club.
What was that?
I said the Club.
Okay. Aaron.
Yeah, the Club.
Ashton.
If it's not the Club, it's bullshit. Aaron, stop fucking laughing, bro.
I'm sorry, I'll mute myself.
Asuka versus Nia Jax. If Nia Jax wins, she will be added. This was what they clarified on Raw Monday. She will be added to Asuka's championship match at WrestleMania 34, not the Raw Women's Championship match. She will be added to Asuka's championship match, WrestleMania 34. So theoretically, we could get Asuka versus Charlotte versus Nia Jax. Asuka versus Nia Jax. Aaron.
Asuka.
Ashton.
Asuka.
Travis.
Asuka
it is for me. Woken and Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt singles match. Travis.
Bray Wyatt with a Jeff Hardy Brother Nero return at the end.
Yeah, let's talk about that for 2 seconds since you brought that up to me earlier. Jeff Hardy is on track to return from his rotator cuff injury. Everything's on schedule. He was predicted to be back around Mania time, if not after, but if he's on track, who's to say he won't be back for Elimination Chamber, so that's a good prediction.
Yeah.
Ashton.
Are you made Cruz? Kind of back. So he can go back to the heel. All
right.
Is his face blue?
Aaron.
Yeah, I'm going to go with like what Travis said, but Matt Hardy's going to win per Jeff Hardy return.
I'm going to take Bray Wyatt in this one. And I'm going to take it with the stip that a Final Deletion-esque match takes place in some way in the future.
Please not at Mania.
Please not at Mania. I agree there.
Yeah.
If you had to sit through a pre-tape match at Mania, my condolences. It was already bad enough at Payback. The champions, The Bar, Cesaro and Sheamus versus Titus Worldwide's Apollo and Titus O'Neil for the Raw Tag Team Championship. Aaron.
Apollo and Titus Worldwide.
Ashton.
Just secretly threw up at the thought of that.
The bar, or he shoots himself. Travis.
I'm going to say the bar. And after Mixed Match Challenge this week, I think Apollo might turn. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say Titus Worldwide for the gold. More because I just feel like someone listened to one of our podcasts and decided it's time for Apollo to get a push.
It's not gold, goddammit.
It's a championship belt, goddammit.
On the pole.
Oh, it's not a belt. It's a championship title, goddammit. It's not a belt. A belt's what you put around your waist.
Hey, they should put it in a box and let the referee pick it up first.
Jesus. The first ever women's elimination chamber match for the Raw Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss versus Bayley versus Mandy Rose versus Mickie James versus Sasha Banks versus Sonya Deville. Ashton, your prediction for the first ever winner of the women's elimination chamber.
I have two. It has to be Edo. Because I'm not very pretty sure elimination.
You're cutting out kind of heavy right now.
Huh?
You're cutting out kind of heavy there, so I didn't hear any of that.
Oh, sorry. I've been laughing so damn hard my throat hurts. But basically, the Nia Asuka match threw me off. I was pretty sure if there was going to be Elimination Chamber, Nia was going to be in it. And it would fit her character and her thing perfectly. Destruction. But since Asuka's in it, it has to be either or. So it's either Alexa or...
Okay, Alexa or Sasha. Let's go to Travis. Travis, your thought.
Personally, I'd want Mickie James to win, but I don't think that's happening. I think it's going to be either Alexa or Sasha.
All right. Aaron.
Yeah, it'll most likely be Alexa, I think.
My prediction is Sonya Deville walks out of the chamber as Raw Women's Champion.
You're fired.
I run this fucker.
He took the words right out of my fucking mouth, I'm not gonna lie. He took the words right out of my mouth. What in the fuck is wrong with you? What fucking costume are you drinking for? Like, wow. You actually think that's gonna happen?
My prediction is Sonya Deville walks out of the chamber.
So he repeats it, ladies.
And I really do not want to see his false lane prediction now. If he says some shit like that.
Bro, we're adding a sixth person to the match, bro. It's going to be James Ellsworth, bro. He's winning the title and going to Mania, bro. Record breaker.
Fuck are you talking about? Okay, fuck you,
Matt, you can keep doing it. It's funny, okay?
Bro! Finally, it's the first ever 7-man Elimination Chamber match for a WWE Universal Championship opportunity at WrestleMania. Braun Strowman versus Elias versus Finn Balor versus John Cena versus Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus The Miz. What are your predictions and why are they Roman Reigns? We'll start with Ashton.
This is he knows exactly what the fuck we're all gonna say. It's pretty evident that, you know, if you're a wrestling fan, you know, and you like wrestling, and you look at the backstage politics and all that shit, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar is gonna be the match, whether you like it or not. So, I don't know how else they're gonna put Reigns into the position of being, other than. So, unless they pull a Rollins versus Reigns versus Brock, it's got to be Roman winning.
All right, I agree.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even mind Rollins versus Reigns versus Brock, you know?
Yeah.
That was my – I want to jump to my prediction. That was going to be my prediction. A weird finish of Rollins and Reigns, you know, pinning each other, you know, a weird scenario that they always do sometimes. So, but that's what I want to see.
If we're going to do Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins in a weird finish, let's have them be the final two, and then Braun Strowman tips the Elimination Chamber over, and then the match is unfinishable.
Yes.
You know that would literally be like the death of like 50 people, right?
Sometimes sacrifices have to be made for the greater good.
Oh my God! Okay.
We started watching. We watched the match, and you see that the whole like first two rows of people
just fucking get crushed by steel.
I have another prediction.
They're empty. Okay. They're all empty.
Oh, they're empty. Yeah, that would be like, oh, something. This boy's tipping over the chamber.
I have another prediction. Braun Strowman is throwing somebody through a pot. I know that for a fact.
Oh, yeah. Here's my prediction for that. Strowman grabs Finn Balor or someone while Elias plays in the pod the whole time guitar.
I hope he does.
And I hope he does too. Elias strums away the whole time in the pod, and then Strowman grabs Balor and fucking throws him in the plexiglass.
or it could be The Miz. I see it being The Miz.
Or The Miz, yeah.
No, it has to be somebody small. It can't be somebody like Reigns or Cena.
To be fair, he throws Reigns around pretty well too, so it could be him.
Yeah.
What if it is Reigns? That would be cool.
What if Reigns just dies in the middle of the ring?
Rollins looks like you're
the man, Rollins. Our guy's dead.
All right, Travis.
He should be. You know what I'm saying? He didn't just hold the company down for years.
All right, Jeff, calm down.
Ooh, bitch. I know you did. Ooh, you motherfucker. I know you did.
Travis, what is your prediction and why is it Roman Reigns?
It's Roman Reigns because... It's Roman Reigns.
Do you know that is actually the best prediction out of anyone? It's Roman Reigns because it's Roman Reigns. That's like the only thing that needs to be said. It's Roman Reigns. With that being said, do you have anything else to add to that?
I want Elias, along with him playing guitar, just give him a mic and have him just commentate on the whole match as it's happening.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Please.
I honestly would not mind that at fucking all. That would be absolutely totally hilarious. But we both know that he is going to make it all serious. Like, the Elimination Chamber is an actual person, and it will fuck you up. But it doesn't.
I think this is 2011 Elimination Chamber. I'm going to talk about this. It was the 2011 Chamber. It was the one where Punk and Morrison were in it. And they had a singles match the night after Raw. And they do a close-up of CM Punk's thigh, and there's just skin missing out of CM Punk's thigh from the Chamber. I don't know if you could find it on the network, maybe. It's the first match of the Raw after that Chamber. But there's just skin missing off his thigh, and Morrison's walking in there with a limp, and I was like, Jesus Christ, this chamber kills people. But now they've made it a lot more safer, so I doubt anything like that's going to happen, especially with the women, but just chunks of skin out of his thigh and everything. I was like, oh boy.
But what do you think is going to happen? Okay, to be an Elimination Chamber match, you have to have a guy or a woman who's going to be dominant and who's going to be reckless. Nia would perfectly fit that match. Like, okay, you know, every chamber has like a Goldberg, or every chamber has a Big Show, or they just make it destructive because the environment that they're in. Who the fuck in that women's match is going to make it destructive and actually feel like a Elimination Chamber?
They're going to make it be Sasha, and she's going to almost kill herself.
No. There's only one woman on that roster,
who's say Tony Deville, I swear to God.
There's only one woman on that roster who's defeated another woman with an elbow to the face before, and it's Alexa Bliss.
Okay, thank God.
It's going to be Alexa.
You're actually going to think Alexa's going to look dominant in this match?
There's only one woman on this roster who's literally won a championship match with an elbow to the face. I don't put it past them.
Nikki Bella did it.
She beat Mickey James with an elbow to the face. I don't know if it was a championship match or not. I'll just say it was a match.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how the hell this women's elimination.
All right, this podcast is over.
No, it's not. Ronda Rousey is signing her contract at the Elimination Chamber. Starting her full-time commitment as a member of the Monday Night Raw roster. I assume we're going to see the beginning of whatever happens with her and a combination of The Rock or Kurt Angle or Braun Strowman or whoever they stick with her against Triple H and Stephanie. So
it's not going to be Rock. It's just not.
I don't believe it is either. I think it's going to be Kurt at this point, but I don't even think they know what they're doing. I don't even know if they know what they're doing for half these Mania things. Like, everyone's getting injured, and everyone's just dying in the ring, and it's just like, man, they're just kind of throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks at this point, so.
They probably won't decide until, like, the night before or something.
Well, Rock will be under contract to whatever 5 movies he's under contract for this year, being the biggest box office star or whatever. So obviously he's going to have insurance, and sometimes insurance says you can't do this or that or this or that. And I'm sure wrestling is a part of that. So I don't know. We'll see. I guess if it ends up being him, I highly doubt it. As you said, we'll see Kurt or Braun or someone, but yeah. Ronda will be. What?
Do you honestly think they're going to start the angle?
At the chamber?
Chamber?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think?
Yeah.
If you think about it, they kind of already started the Triple H Braun Strowman thing with Survivor Series.
Yeah.
That could lead to that.
That was like the biggest thing. I mean, they almost kind of started the Kurt Angle thing too when Triple H pedigreed his fucking son in the middle of the ring on Raw, but.
That's not his son!
Alright,
I know.
Just stop saying that. It's not. It's the stupidest angle in the world. Pun intended. Stop. Just stop saying it, this song. Please. I beg of everybody on this podcast. Just stop paying attention to it and now stop it. Because it's fucking stupid. Unless they ended up with an angle versus him at Mania and they passed the torch or whatever. It's fucking stupid. Just have him be his mentor or some shit. Don't say it came from his balls. It's retarded. It's fucking retarded. I'm serious. Like, Jesus. All
right, ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is over.
No. I want it to be known that Travis put the idea out that maybe we should be under an hour for today's podcast, and I meant, okay, maybe. We're at an hour and 33 as of right now.
Sorry, guys.
No, it was worth it. But Ronda Rousey is signing her contract at the Elimination Chamber. By the way, I did not put my Elimination Chamber pick in for WWE Universal Championship match.
I wonder who it's going to be.
I just wonder. You know what? Elias has a big chance of winning this match.
It's not Roman Reigns.
What?
It's The Miz. The Miz is taking Brock Lesnar to Mizney World at WrestleMania and is becoming the Intercontinental and Universal Champion. We're ending this podcast right there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to the BTC.
Hell no. What is wrong with you? What are you smoking on, man? What is wrong with you? Seriously. You gotta be doing this for kicks now. Or just having me react or some shit. Cause there's no way you being who you are and exactly how much knowledge you know about wrestling to where you actually said that bullshit. I love The Miz. What the fuck is wrong with you? Seriously. What are you smoking, bro? I need some of that. Like, that.
I wish he could win, but, you know, it's
The Miz is taking Brock Lesnar to Mizney World at WrestleMania and is becoming the Intercontinental and Universal Champion. Thank you for listening to the BTC Top Rope Talk Podcast. It's gone a minute and 35. It's been an awesome episode. From me, Aaron, say your goodbyes.
See you guys.
Ashton.
Oh, my. Goodbye, I guess. What the fuck is wrong with Matt? Goodbye, guys.
Travis.
Why?
We'll be back next week with a new host.
No, the fuck we won't. You just wait. When Sonya Deville and The Miz win those matches, you're going to be coming crawling to me.
If that actually happens, I will literally say you're the greatest wrestling mind in the world. I will say that in your face. If that happens. But hell would literally have to freeze over.
Hell already did freeze over. Five. Jeff Jarrett's in the Hall of Fame. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. We'll see you next week.